Friends, thank you for giving towards our AGW funds last weekend, 9th and 10th of January. As of Wednesday, 13th of January, we have received 1,154,817 ringgit in cash and 674,135 ringgit in pledges. And so that's a total of 1,828,952. And our target is for 5.5 million. And so we have reached one third of that sum within the first 5 days. So we give thanks to God for that. Now, if you have not participated in this, please prayerfully consider. Go to our website, click on the menu on top of the screen that says give. So all the information is there for you to give or pledge. So don't forget to indicate on the reference field of the bank, the letters AGW. Well, we are starting a new 8-sermon series in 2 weeks' time called The Pursuit of Holiness. And it's based on the book of Leviticus. So I want to encourage you to read through this book before we start. And there are 27 chapters. So if you can read 2 chapters a day, you can complete it in 2 weeks before we begin the series. Now, I know it is not an easy book to read with all the rituals and rules, and you may fall asleep while reading it, but I hope not. But let me assure you that there is a powerful prophetic element to who you are as a Christian and how you live your life in the ways of God in this book. So will you try reading through and not give up halfway? It will really help you in this series when you have the entire context. So let's read the Word of God together. So why don't we stand and hold up my Bible and declare together, this is my Bible. Are you ready? Just hold up your Bible. Ready? Okay, 1, 2, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Now, we're going to read from the screen this passage here, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And let's declare this aloud together. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. And God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, will you come and illumine our minds and our hearts and our spirit that we may hear your word and hear it clearly and apply it to our lives, that we may be changed to be more and more like Christ. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have heard countless stories of divers, swimmers, or sailors on a boat who were unwittingly carried by undercurrent drifting far out into the open sea. Many of these who were drifting will say that it caught them by surprise. I myself had such an experience on a mission trip to the Philippines 35 years ago when I was snorkeling, enjoying the beautiful corals gleaming beautifully off the bright sun, and making sure I stay far away from the deep end. Well, I knew I was in trouble when suddenly all I see was the darkness of the seafloor. I had gone too far without realizing. It happened so fast that I didn't see it coming, and not being a very good swimmer, I panicked a little. Now, thankfully, I had a friend who was able to guide me to safety. Well, that was a close call. Well, in this pandemic, it is so easy to drift because no one is keeping watch over you. You are at home most of the time. There's an enforced physical distancing of one another, and especially in the early stage of this pandemic. There's no corporate gathering where you see each other, and in some sense, you will not be missed whether you come to church online or not. There's little avenue for serving in that sense, and certainly everything is up to you to decide what you want or do not want to do. I tell you what, this is a perfect recipe for spiritual drifting. In the same way, the writer of Hebrews warns believers about the danger of spiritual drifting, something much worse than merely drifting out to sea. Spiritual drifting is drifting away from fellowship with God, and for some, totally away from their faith. In fact, the writer warns us about five dangers we need to be aware of, and we study this a little bit more when we come to our sermon series on the book of Hebrews in the third quarter of this year. But in a nutshell, let me give it to you first. There are these five things that you must watch out for. Number one is the neglect. Something that happens gradually by neglect or fail to do in our day-to-day life. It creeps in little by little without you realizing. The sin of neglect is a sin of omission. The things you ought to do, but you did not, as opposed to the sin of commission, which is something wrong you did. So that's the first one. The second is unbelief. It means that there's doubts in our minds about what God said, or to only accept partially what God said, because it's more convenient that way. And thirdly, the writer of Hebrews warned about falling away. Now, this warning here is not towards those who are spiritually young Christians, but those who have tasted the goodness of God. Meaning, even mature Christians need to be mindful that they can fall away. And fourthly, the fourth warning is willful sin. A warning to those who continue to deliberately keep on sinning without repentance. And then fifthly, lastly, is falling short of the grace of God. That means with willful sin, in time, you will eventually not live under the grace of God, and bitter roots begin to cause trouble for yourself and others. So here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, the warning against spiritual drifting is neglect. Well, far too many believers start out strong in their faith, yet they drift away when things get tough in their life, rather than staying the course. So when we drift, we fail to grow spiritually mature and effective in our life. Well, of course, we are not perfect in our lives. And as long as we are on this earth, we will struggle with our flesh. So tell you what, God allows our fallen human nature to be sustained under His grace. And hence, we live by grace every day and not by our own strength. So don't get too discouraged in your down days, but learn from them and move upwards by making good choices each day. Now, let me illustrate this by this yo-yo chart. If we are not careful in the ups and downs, we can drift away like in this chart here right now. But if we are careful, we move upwards in our maturity and do not allow setbacks to affect our growth. So what are some of these setbacks that cause us to drift away from God? Now, let me quickly list down for you five setbacks that will cause us to drift. Number one is misplaced schedule. Well, it's not just about being busy. We are all busy and should be with the right things. But we are often busy with the wrong things. Remember I shared in one of my sermons in November last year about the ancient path? Stop and look, ask, then walk. I mentioned that while we need to examine our to-do list, we must have another list, you know, called the stop doing list. So that's the first one. The second one is what I call misplaced affection. So don't set your heart on things that don't really matter at the end of the day. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says this, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them." And the third setback is discouragement or disappointment. I've often seen people discouraged from the trials of life or disappointed with people who did not live up to their expectation or even with God when they see their prayers not answered in the way that they wanted it. And that dragged them away from God. Remember in the story of Jesus in the storm? When the storm grew larger, it is time to run to Jesus and not from Him. And the fourth setback, strange reason, it is abundance. Now, what do I mean? The truth is that when we do well in life, our eyes tend to look away from God and shifting our dependence away from Him to ourselves. It is strange that when we are struggling, we pray to God to help us, and when God blesses us, we become prosperous again, and ironically, we drift away from God. And therefore, with that, I understand King Solomon. With all the wisdom, he said this, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, otherwise I may have too much and disown you." Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 to 9. And the fifth setback is what I call parasitic sins. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "The sin which so easily entangles us." There are sins that entangle us for a long time, and we find that we cannot come out of it. And these are the kind of unrepentant sins that cause us to feel guilty when we show up at church or when we pray or read our Bible. And because of this, we are reluctant to do these things, I mean pray and read the Bible, because of our guilt. Bit by bit, we slowly drift away. And there are quite a number of examples in the Bible of people who actually drifted away. And these are not ordinary people, but people who seem to be endowed with special gifts or anointing or selected by the Lord. Samson is one. King David and his son Solomon. Judas Iscariot, the disciple of Jesus, handpicked by Jesus himself. Ananias and Sapphira, if you remember that story, who gave big sums of money to the church, but yet they drifted even in serving God. And the list goes on. That is a warning that the book of Hebrews is trying to tell us. So here's a big idea. Spiritual drifting towards destruction. Let me repeat that. Spiritual drifting toward destruction. Now, our focus is on verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. "We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away." So let me ask you this question here. How many of you have drifted away in some points of your life? Have you? Can you remember those times? Now, can you identify yourself with the five reasons for the setbacks I mentioned above? Was that one of those the reasons why, you know, you drifted away from God? Maybe a more important question that I need to ask you now is a more poignant question, is this question here. Are you drifting right now? So are you? Do you know? Especially in this time of pandemic when no one checks on you, are you drifting? How would you know? Let me help you by answering these questions. Obvious question to help you. What is drifting like? What are the signs of drifting? And how do we stop drifting? So let's look at the first question. What is drifting like? So let me use the illustration of a boat in my explanation. Number one, it requires no effort to drift. It is very easy to do, like a boat. To drift is to do absolutely nothing. Stop rowing and the current will carry you away by just sitting there doing nothing. So in the same way, spiritual drifting is about not doing anything for your spiritual life. And number two, it is done unconsciously. Now, undercurrents are unnoticeable from the surface. So people can drift gradually into errors of their life. They don't even realize it. Drifting is so subtle that by the time you realize it, you're far from where you were. It is not an overnight thing. It happened over months and years. And some of you here know exactly what I mean because you had drifted far away. But thank God you have come back. And number three, you never drift upstream or against the tide. You always drift downstream. So going upstream is difficult. Going against the tide of worldly temptations is not easy. You must constantly make an effort or to be disciplined to grow in faith. Otherwise, the stream or tide will just take you along. And fourthly, in drifting, downstream speed increases over time. So when you hear the sound of waterfall, you are too late. And so when you move further and further away from the Lord, you care less and less about what you do until you see the destruction coming upon you quickly, like the waterfall. And number five, drifting is a danger to others. You see, a drifting boat or ship is a danger to all other vessels. A drifting Christian, like a boat tossing back and forth, is a danger to others because he will either hit, injure, or destroy other people around him. The people affected are often said to say those closest to him. And lastly, sixthly, drifting ends in shipwreck. It eventually will crash into a rock or go over the falls if he doesn't do anything about it. So here, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 exhorts us to pay the most careful attention. Staying the course, on the other hand, requires enormous energy, which thankfully the Holy Spirit supplies in our life as we yield to Him. So let me ask you this question again. Are you drifting right now? After so many months of the MCO and pandemic, are you drifting? And how do you know whether you are drifting? So that's the next great question. So let me give you four signs. What are these four signs? What are the signs of drifting? Number one, the first sign is this. There's no desire for God's word and prayer. Let me read that again. No desire for God's word and prayer. Well, you see, reading God's word and prayer is a sign of deep dependence on God. The more we neglect them, the more we will drift. The more you drift, the less desire you have for the things of God. So they both build on one another, and the combination of them becomes a tailspin going downwards. And that is why so many take years to recover. And the second sign of drifting is no desire to be with God's people. Because you are in a tailspin of neglect in the Bible and prayer, you will naturally not want to be with God's people. You know why? Because of your guilty conscience. In fact, you will begin to say that Christians are hypocritical. That's a very common word to hear, actually. That you will begin to say Christians are hypocritical when all they wanted to do was actually to try to help you. Now, when that happens, you will then hop from church to church, driven by a guilty conscience and never getting close to anyone. Therefore, the writer of Hebrews warned us in chapter 10, verse 25. He says, do not neglect to meet together as some are in the habit of doing. So therefore, you know, as a senior pastor, it is important for me to track cell group attendance because this is the only way that I know DUMC members are connected to one another. Because I have no idea who comes to church online each weekend. So the signs of drifting, number one, is no desire for God's word and prayer. And number two, is no desire to be with God's people. And number three, you have no desire to share the gospel. The treasure of the gospel is lost somehow. And we have no desire to share what is good in our lives. You know, the gospel is about the greatest story ever told and the greatest rescue mission ever carried out. It is about one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. And in drifting, you come to recognize that you are no longer excited about your faith, that you have found spiritual food and you don't tell anyone else about this. Hence, you don't see the need to share. You know, there's nothing like renewing your love for God by having a heart for people. So this is my challenge to you for this coming year. Will you ask God for 3 to 5 people that you can pray for and reach out to this year? Can you do that? Can you seriously sit down one day and with a journal and ask God, God, who are the 3 to 5 people that I can pray for? And give me an opportunity to reach out to them. And each of us just need to ask God for a divine appointment. He will make the divine appointment for us and pray by faith that we will lead at least one person to the Lord this year. And each of us, you know, does that. It's quite amazing. By the end of the year, there'll be so many more people that will be added to the kingdom of God. there are many opportunities to share our faith in our daily lives. I had a chance to talk to a lawyer recently whom I met in the course of signing some legal documents. She's not a believer in Christ yet, all right, but she believes there is a God and she prays to him. But she said, God doesn't answer her. So I took this opportunity to share that she needs a relationship with Jesus, who will then open up a way to God. And with this divine appointment, you know, to cut the whole long story short, I had the privilege of leading her to accept Jesus into her life. You know, there are many out there seeking for an answer, but you must first of all be in fellowship with Christ. And the fourth sign of drifting is an increased desire for things of the world. You see, what fills our minds constantly are accolades, wealth, successes, recognition, worldly pleasure. Well, they are not wrong by themselves, but the love for the things of the world will blind our eyes to the things of God. We become obsessed by these very things that will cause us to drift. So I have asked the question, what is drifting like? What are the signs of drifting? Now, the third question would be, how then do we stop drifting? So let me give you, you know, some ideas how to do that. And number one is to keep rowing in a specific direction. See, you must know your direction. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14 says this, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So what is that keeping the course? It is basically returning back to the basics of scripture reading, Bible reading, prayer, church and cell group attendance, serving in a ministry, giving of your tithes and offering for which many of you have done even the AGW and your monthly giving. Thank you, church. Now remember, it is not the activities, but a return to a fellowship with God and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you each step. So greet the Holy Spirit each morning. Accountability is very important because you cannot do it alone. So go find someone to help you. If you're married, have your spouse hold you accountable. If you belong to a cell group, get in touch with someone there to remind you to attend cell group, to call you if you forget to attend or too lazy to attend. If you don't belong to a cell group, go join one, will you? Just get in touch with the church and we can point you to one. And secondly, watch out for undercurrents. Be on your guard. Guard and examine your heart regularly. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things beyond cure. Who can understand it? Or Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You know, the last 5 days fast and prayer every night when we met together is really about making right with God. And I felt so ministered to each night as I come before God in repentance, in confession, and begin to just set my relationship right with God. It's an amazing time, the last 5 nights. At the end of the day, we cannot blame temptations. It is succumbing to temptation that is the problem. So don't put yourself in a position where you will compromise. And thirdly, how do you guard against drifting? Well, expect to go against the tide. There are many damaging tides in the world. Spiritual consumerism, I call it, modernism, skepticism, humanism, liberalism, all the isms and worldliness that will really get to you. Well, Jesus does not want to take us out of the world, but to take the world out of us. So Jesus did say his path is a narrow path. It's not an easy path. And lastly, we must have a strong anchor if we do not want to drift. Last weekend, I talked about a firm foundation we must have in Christ to be sure and steadfast, to be firm and secure. Now, what do I mean by that? What about these four things about Christ? Number one is that you must be rooted and grounded in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7 says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Well, it doesn't come automatically, but the daily decision to follow Christ. Just because you make a decision to follow Christ some years ago, you still need to wake up each day to reaffirm your walk with Christ. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And secondly, how do we anchor ourselves to Him? Our minds must be anchored to the truth, and that is faith. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Well, you must know what the Word of God has to say. There's no shortcut to hearing from Him by reading and studying for yourself rather than hearing it from someone else. And thirdly, possessing an unshakable hope. And Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 to 19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Christ has given us a hope for the future, glory of the new heaven and new earth. We must never, church, forget our final destination. And lastly, we must be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. And Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 18 says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You see, we must not just know about Him, about Jesus. We must know Him and experience His presence every day of our lives. Our spiritual emphasis this year is Christ is more than enough. Christ is more than enough. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, if you're reminded from last weekend or 2 weekends ago, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Now, I want to end with the amazing story of Stevens and Kay Chan. This couple started attending UMC about 10 years ago. And here's a photo of Stevens and Kay. And LeSean, Malaysia's first recognized guide dog that has served Stevens faithfully for 6 years. Sadly, LeSean died last year in May at the age of 8 after battling a blood infection. When I first met Stevens and Kay in church, I somehow knew this couple has a story to tell. They are a very unassuming couple. Very quietly, they will come regularly to church. But you cannot miss them, seeing Kay faithfully guiding Stevens into the church auditorium because Stevens is blind. He was diagnosed with glaucoma at the age of 40, and by the age of 45, he lost his sight. They, especially Stevens, live in a world most of us are unfamiliar with. The world of visual darkness now for more than 10 years. And over the course of time, I learned that they founded the KL and Selangor Glaucoma Society. And I got to know about them a little bit more when one of my cell members worked in their organization. I began to hear terms like dialogue in the dark and concert in the dark. The DUMC in a small way gave financially towards their work in 2018. And subsequently, the story that really grabbed my attention was Stephen's recent health crisis, which could have cost him his life in South Korea when he was there. I did not know a huge chunk of their life story until this book came along. And this book here is titled, I Was Blind, But Now I See. I Was Blind, But Now I See. A beautifully written and illustrated a book. It's an amazing book here, very beautifully drawn with very beautiful pictures in there, and quite amazing stories that really would grip your heart. And so they invited me to write a foreword in this book, and I had the privilege to read this before anyone else to have a glimpse of their lives told in a very candid and honest way. trust me, you cannot put the book down once you start reading. And all I can sum up at the end of this book is this. And this is what I wrote in my foreword. I wrote, Stevens and Kay are living immersed in the amazing grace of God, literally in a flip way for Stevens. From the hymn of John Newton, Amazing Grace, where he says, was blind, but now I see. Well, Stevens had sight, but he was spiritually blind. But now, he may be blind, he can clearly see, spiritually that is. So let me read an excerpt from a second book which he had written called My Resilience Recipe, this book here. And you can get this book, all right, in the bookstore. And let me read to you what he wrote here, which I felt was something so powerful. So he wrote, what is peace? It was completely incomprehensible to me at that time. How could I know peace when I rejected the blind, broken, and bankrupt version of myself? The course of my life changed on the day I embraced Christianity. I was washed with a sense of peace, knowing that everything I had done was forgiven. I acknowledged that I'm created in the image of God, and God never looks down at His creations because of Christ. On that day, I slept like a baby for the first time in more than 30 years, finally able to let go of the burden to prove myself. My faith enabled me to accept myself for who I am, just like how Christ accepted all beings unconditionally. The inner peace that came with self-acceptance gradually dissolved my egoistic desire to build a life based on pretense and external approval. In my pastor's words, I used to be someone who spends the money he doesn't have to buy things he doesn't need in order to impress people he doesn't like. I'm now able to laugh at my ignorance, reminiscing the stark contrast between my old self and transformed self. Well, I won't steal the thunder, and you can purchase these two books for yourself at the bookstore in church. Now, my point is this. In their darkest moment, they could have been disappointed and drifted away. One can't help but to conclude that they have a deep anchor in Christ to sustain them. They are literally living out the words of God to Apostle Paul, where he wrote, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And I want to commend Kay, his wife, who has stayed by his side, graciously walking the journey with him. We must never forget those who are caregivers. And Kay, you too, I believe, have been experiencing God's grace in an unusual way as well. So, do you need the grace of God? Let's come to the big idea one more time. Spiritual drifting towards destruction. Are you drifting? Are you spiritually blind, although you can physically see? Do you need the grace of God? And I want to challenge all of us here that to examine your own heart right now. That if you have drifted away from God, this is a time for you now to come back on course with God. And I pray that this will be something that you would do as you enter the new year. That now you realize that you've been drifting away, it is time to come back. Some of you may have drifted far, far away. You know, you are never too far away from this God who constantly pursues you. And so I pray that you will come back to this God of yours to start this new year, no matter how far or how little you have drifted. And some of you who are not Christians here, and you also can have this Jesus in your life. Now, how do you do that? You do that by simply inviting Him. Now, later on, we're going to pray together. Together with all these Christians who may have drifted away. Actually, the prayer is more or less the same. It is about an invitation for Christ into our lives. For you, who may be for the first time. But for the rest who may be Christian and drifted away, this is a renewing of their invitation to God some years ago. So if you are ready to do that, if you're not a Christian, will you follow me in this prayer together with all these Christians who are also praying? So will you bow your heads And if these words mean something to you, just pray that silently in your heart. Can we do that right now? Just bow your heads and follow after me as you pray to God. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I'm sorry for the sins in my life. I'm sorry for the things that I've done. I'm sorry that I have drifted away. And I'm not proud of these things. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that Jesus, on the cross, you died for me so that I don't have to pay the penalty of my sins. But through what Jesus did on the cross, my Heavenly Father look at me now and say, you are forgiven. And so I accept the forgiveness of God that comes through Christ. Please come into my life and make me a new person. Lord, I have drifted away, God. Will you renew me and make me a whole new person all over again? I invite you, Jesus, right now into my life, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, friends, if you have said that prayer, especially those of you who are, you know, saying this for the first time, you know, if you have said that, this is what I want you to do. Can you go to the chat screen, or maybe at the side of the screen is a QR code? Either you take a photo of the QR code or you click on the side of the screen that says, you know, raise hands. We just want an indicator that you have said that prayer to help us, you know, to get to know you as well. Can you go to that a link that they say request prayer as well? And then from there, someone who is in the ministry team can come online and have a chat with you about how we can help you along. And if you don't have access to that, you can click on the QR code and give us your detail, and someone will be in touch with you. For the rest of us, if you need prayers, you're free to click on request prayer as well. And one of our ministry team member will come alongside you and pray with you. All right, could you do that right now? And I'm going to close with a prayer of benediction that I'll pray over you right now. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you again for your love for each of us. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of the Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, amen, amen, amen. So God bless you. I'll see you next week. And don't forget to read through the book of Leviticus. God bless you. Have a great weekend and stay safe.